All right, today we are going to finish up, just do a review, a summary of the gifts, not going over the gifts themselves, but just generally some, just get back into our mind again, generally not the specific gifts, but what are the gifts, what are the purposes for the gifts, what they are, what they're not, what do we need to do, how are spiritual gifts described, who receives them, when do we receive them, why do we receive them, and those things. So just a general review, and then next week we will be through. This is the last week for the spiritual gifts. So Ephesians 4, let's read together verse number 8. It says, "Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing it is that we can gather together this morning. Father, I pray that you'd be with those that can't be with us this morning, whether they're sick or out of town. I pray you'd watch over them and bring them back to us safely. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to fellowship today, to worship you. I pray you'd help us as we finish up this series. I pray that we all would understand at least one of our spiritual gifts. Father, you may have given someone here more than that. I just pray that we know what they are and that, Father, we would determine to be used by you and to be good stewards of those gifts. And Lord, I just pray you bless our lesson this morning, bless the discussion. And may you be glorified in all that is done. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to hand out a few verses this morning. And then we'll answer some of these questions. So, Brother Pelicone, look at Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. Sister Pelicone, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Brother Kurtman, 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Sister Clara. Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. Brother Jed, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Brother Paul, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. Okay, we consider the question of what spiritual gifts are or what they are not. So what are spiritual gifts? What are spiritual gifts? Divinely given abilities for the work of the ministry. Okay, divinely given abilities for the work of the ministry. They're given by the Holy Spirit. He gives them. He enables them to be effectively used for His honor and glory. That's why we're to be continually filled with the Spirit, led by Him. Every believer has a gift. And we'll look at some of those verses in a little bit. But it's His divine enabling. Okay, what are they not? What are spiritual gifts? What are some things that aren't necessarily spiritual gifts?
They're not for self-edification.
Okay, they're not for self-edification.
Brother Mike, could I qualify what I said?
Yes.
Not just finding your ability, but also attitudes.
Attitudes. Okay. Abilities and attitudes.
Talents aren't always spiritual gifts. We may be good at something, but we don't have the gift of whatever may be associated with that.
Right. Some people may be natural. There's a lot of people in the world that are natural speakers, very charismatic. Hitler was a gifted speaker. Was that a spiritual gift? By no means. Well, maybe a demonically spiritual gift in that way, but it's not a divine enabling. But he had a talent to be able to move people with his words. So it's not just a talent or a skill that you have. It's not just your character. It's a divine enabling for ministry, and even if you have that gift, it can be done in the wrong way. So if you think about the attitudes that Brother Kirkman mentioned, we can do these gifts in not being led by the Holy Spirit, do it with a proud heart, and they're not going to benefit, not going to be a blessing to the church. So these verses that we handed out this morning, I'm going to ask the question, what do we need to do? As it relates to spiritual gifts, what are some things that we need to do? So in Romans 12, we have some gifts listed in that chapter, but the chapter starts off, look at the first three verses, and just consider, as he's leading into practical issues of the Christian life, practical Christian living, and with that is what's more practical than being led by the Holy Spirit and using the gifts that he's given to us, which he tells us there in Romans 12. He starts it off with these first three verses and look at some of the things that need to happen if we want to use our spiritual gifts appropriately. So, Brother Pelcone.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Amen. So what are some things that we need to do mentioned here? He goes on in verse number 4, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. He goes on to describe that we have different capacities, different responsibilities. But it starts off with these first three verses. So what are some things that we need to specifically do as God's people in those first three verses? Exercise humility. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but we're to think soberly. And why are we to think soberly with this humility? Tells us in the verse.
Would that be verse connected with verse 1? Referring back to the sacrifice of Christ and his humility.
Yes, it does. Yeah, these all tie right back together with that. If we look at the last phrase of verse number 3. We're to think soberly. We're not to think more highly than we ought to think soberly. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God's given you. It's grace. God's given you these abilities. God's given you these things. So it's nothing. We can't boast about it. It's his enabling, not our own talents, not our own character. These are his enablings in our life. So we can't have that proud spirit. What else do we see in those verses?
Verse 1 reminds me of the churches of Macedonia where they first gave of their own selves. Amen. The Lord, so the giving, the sacrificing of self.
Amen. So hand over here.
To live a holy life.
Okay, to live a holy life.
Okay, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. That's our reasonable service. That just makes sense. Something else. Verse number 2. Yeah, don't follow the world. Don't be conformed to the world. So if we want to truly exercise the gifts that God has given to us, the spiritual gifts, gift or gifts, these things, we have to do these things. We can't, we've got to strive to live a holy life, not be conformed to this world, not following the world, not being worldly, have a right mindset, or attitude concerning these things, not doing them in a proud heart, proud spirit. Understand that God's given those to us. And He's dealt every man the measure of faith that's what He's done. So if He's given you something more or less, think soberly about that.
Modern-day Christianity, they must have cut verse 2 out of the Bibles. I don't have to get beyond that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mindset of many churches is let's be conformed to the world because we want to attract the world. But we're not to attract the world, we're to go to the world with the gospel, not bring them into the assembly. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1.
What do we see that we need to do there?
Not being ignorant. Know what your spiritual gift is. God wants you to know what your spiritual gift is. Paul says, I would not have you ignorant about this. So know what your gift is or your gifts. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery.
Okay, I was talking specifically to Timothy about a particular gift, but the principle here, that first phrase, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Okay, maybe a spiritual gift that you have, and I don't know if in the Bible if you know we can find where we lose the gift, but we're not to neglect the gift. If you don't practice your gift, what happens? What's that? Yeah, God could. I mean, I don't know if we find evidence of that. But what else could happen?
It could atrophy.
Yeah, atrophy. How many missed blessings in your life and in others? Others will miss blessings. Help.
Your spiritual gift will have a well-oiled church. Mm-hmm. But if we're not, it's problems.
Right. We start off there in Ephesians 4. Every joint is to be supplying something. In verse number 16, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Maketh increase of the body and edifying of itself in love. We can't expect the body to increase and be edified if every member, every part's not supplying something. How many here woke up this morning and there was just one part of your body that didn't quite work right? Okay. And it's other parts may have been working perfectly fine, but that because of that one thing, the whole morning was changed. You raising your hand, brother?
Between this and
1
Timothy chapter 4 and departing
from
the faith?
In departing from the faith? Yeah, I think I haven't thought about that, but then in 1 Timothy 4, it says there in verse number 1 that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So as we neglect our gifts, and we've become, you know, we need to neglect what God's given you, something very specific to do within a church body. He's put you in this body. He's given you gifts for a purpose, things that the body needs. And as you not, if you're not exercising those, we get to the point where we look around and say, well, I'm not even needed. We start getting an attitude certainly critical of other people in the church. We're the problem ourselves. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We've neglected that gift. And then what happens if a part of your body stops working as it ought to? What often does your body do?
Shut down.
It might shut down if it's something critical, but what else might it do? Compensate. Our bodies are pretty marvelous things. And so it accomplishes what needs to get done without that body part. And so often in a church, we might find ourselves and we neglect to get that. Now others are doing things. Things are still being accomplished. And we can sit back and have a pity party that I'm just not needed anymore. And so often people will leave a church because they have gotten themselves in a position where they feel they're not needed anymore. But that's because they're the ones that stopped working and other body parts had to compensate for that. Do you have a comment, Brother Kripman?
I just really listened to what you said there. But I was also thinking about, and it says neglect not the gift. I think something that's not maybe thought of enough is over in 2 Timothy, it says stir up the gift.
Yeah.
So if a person knows what their spiritual gift is, they need to develop. They need to throw themselves into cultivating that gift. If they have the gift of teaching, then they need to get busy studying or preaching. They need to aim at being the best that they can possibly be, or other things.
Amen.
Get good at it.
Amen.
Not just say, this is my gift and coast along.
Right. If you have... This isn't a spiritual gift, but think about music. If you have there's people that have natural talent for music. So for the musicians in here, if you don't practice, what happens?
You continue to be mediocre.
Yeah, maybe.
Mediocre, and nobody's blessed to the extent that they could be blessed.
Right. And you may not lose the ability to do, play the piano, but you lose the ability to do it with perfection. One musician, I don't know if it's a pianist or what, they would say, after if I miss one practice, I know it. If I miss 2 days of practice, others know it. And when we're out of practice, we don't stir up that gift and we neglect that gift, you're going to know that, but others are also going to know that. And things will start being affected within the church body. Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. Sister Clara. Okay, so Ephesians 4, we're told that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So again, connecting that with what we just talked about of stirring up that gift, of not neglecting the gift, walk worthy. God's called you to something. He's given you a responsibility. He's given you a vocation. Okay, if you're a hand, you're an eye, you're an ear, in the body, walk worthy of that. Do what God's called you to do. Excel at that. Again, with the mindset there in verse number 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, for bearing one another in love. Because other body parts may not be working right. If you don't just kill them, you forbear in love and try to help them along. 1 Peter 4, verse 10.
As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
All right, so we're to not to neglect the gift or to strip the gift.
And here, Peter says you're to be stewards of that gift. You've received the gift, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. God's giving you a gift, you need to be a steward of that. If you're not a steward of that, you're going to be held accountable. Stewards will be held accountable. We are all stewards of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. So we need to be faithful in that stewardship. So as we have received the gift, even so minister. And then 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31.
But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way.
Okay, Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts.
Are you given all of your spiritual gifts the moment that you're saved? Or do you think God can give you gifts throughout your life?
Right.
And again, it's for the spiritual gifts are for the edifying of the body. So if someone had a gift and God moves them either home or moves them somewhere else, and no one else in the church had that gift, is he going to say, sorry, church, you go without? No, I think he's going to either bring someone in that has that gift, or he's going to give that gift to someone in the church. And so it's not wrong to covet the best gifts. If you want to be used by God in a certain way and you're not able to do that, ask him to give you those gifts. Ask him to enable you to do those things and covet those gifts. So there's a lot of opportunities with gifts. And one thing about gifts, we've touched on this a little bit, but how are spiritual gifts described in Scripture? The word gifts, do anyone know what the word, the Greek word or English words related to the Greek word translated as gifts? There's a whole movement today in Christendom that uses this word. Charisma. Amen. Someone's purse is up here. I think it's Sister Andrea's. Okay. I think she's in the back. They hung up. If it rings again, I'll go take it to her. She's working on the computer, I think. Charisma is the Greek word. Charismatic movement comes from that word. This word, the main definition of it is a favor with which one receives without any merit of his own. A favor with which one receives without any merit of his own. Or grace or gifts denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the Church of Christ. The reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit. So that is, I think, maybe Thayer's definition. So it's gifts, grace or gifts denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them. It's a favor which one receives without any merit of his own. So remember that when we've hit on this already in these verses, Romans 12, verse number 3, we're not to think more highly than we ought to think, because it's according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We're told in Ephesians 4 that we're to do with all lowliness and meekness. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, as any man hath received the gift. Okay, we don't deserve any of these things. And so, think about 1 Peter 4, verse 10, as every man hath received them, we receive them by grace without any. We deserve them, even so minister the same one to another. So these gifts are given by grace, and we are to practice them in grace or by grace. We don't pick and choose who deserves us to minister to them, who deserves us to be a blessing to. Okay, if your body has an itch, do your fingers say, "No, I'm sorry, I'm not going to scratch that shoulder today. It doesn't deserve me to scratch it." No, we just scratch it. And we cannot limit our ministry to those that we think deserve our ministry. God's put us in this body. We're to minister one to another in grace. So who all receives spiritual gifts? Everyone that's saved. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." It's given to every man.
This is a question. All saved, what if some don't submit to scriptural baptism and become a member of the church? Aren't these gifts within the body? So a saved person that's not in the body, I don't think it's given a spiritual gift according to what I'm reading here. Comment on that, right or wrong?
I thought about it.
When we consider the manifestation of the Spirit, I believe every believer is going to have, obviously every believer is going to be changed. You can't have the Holy Spirit within you without a dramatic difference in your life. But these gifts are, 1 Corinthians 12 is in the context of the church body. Throughout the whole chapter is in the context of the body. The manifestation of the Spirit, so that gift is given to every man to profit withal, it's to profit the body. In Romans 12, verse 3, Paul says, "I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." So they had these gifts, as God dealt to every man according to the measure of faith. Ephesians 4 is in the context also of a church, and God giving gifts to the church, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. 1 Peter is written generally, but written to Christians in churches. We don't see Christians in the New Testament that weren't in churches, at least not for very long. But as every man hath received the gift, even so the minister the same one to another. Does he gift gifts to those not in a church yet? I don't know. Look, you ever have thoughts on that?
You can't apply to all that everybody receives a spiritual gift or saved, whether they use it or not, or are allowed to use it, or rewarded for using it. It's another thing. A person may have a using your, illustrates not a gift, but somebody that is a talented musician may have it. They may have all those talents. But they're not going to sing or play. They're not going to sing the choir, play in the symphony, unless they're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to get rewarded accordingly unless they're part of it. And I think this is something, along with a lot of other things, that believers miss out on and won't be rewarded for because they're not exercising them in proper, in God's ordained venue.
Paul wrote to Timothy, and I can't remember the reference right now, and I can't even quote the verse properly, but those that strive, those that would be rewarded, those that would strive for mastery, they must strive lawfully. I can't think of the reference right now. Must strive lawfully. And if we want God to reward us for, how can we be good stewards? If God wants us to be a knee or a hand or an eye or an ear, but we're not connected to a body, how can we be good stewards of that gift? I saw an interesting video the other day of or an article on on wasps that or certain types of bees that they can survive without their head. And there was a bee or a wasp, its head was cut off, and it was sitting there. Its body was still moving around, found the head, picked up the head, and flew off. And it's not going to survive. Obviously, it's going to die because it can't eat. But it, how well is that? Are those eyes and the mouth going to benefit the body? It can't. They cannot benefit the body because they're not connected. And so the body will die eventually. It might be able to fly off and take the head somewhere, but the body will die because it cannot eat. And when you, so those mouth parts can't benefit. So if God's giving you a gift but you're not connected to a body, then you can't be a good steward of that gift. So we have a gift, but how can we be rewarded for those? Why are spiritual gifts given? Again, we've touched on these. Why are spiritual gifts given?
For the edifying of the body.
For the edifying of the body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, again, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, to profit the body. Ephesians 4, verses 8, verse 11 and 12. Speaking about giving gifts, then in verse number 8, he gave gifts unto men. Verse number 11, specific ones that Paul is referencing, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So why are these gifts given? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So they're given for a purpose. They're not given for personal gratification, even personal growth.
Also another verse, 1 Corinthians 14, 12.
Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church.
Amen. Amen.
When are spiritual gifts given?
Initially at the moment of salvation, we're gifted to a certain age, but then they're gifted throughout our Christian life as well.
Right.
Okay, so a believer born 50 years, born again 50 years ago, or born again 5 minutes ago, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So even the newly born believer, I believe, has that gift at salvation. We have those, but then throughout life, God may give you other ones as you've as the need arises. Let's turn over to look at the time here. Look at the right time here. 10:13. Okay. just quickly, a few thoughts. I want to get to. How are they to be exercised? So if you would turn over to 1 Corinthians 12, we'll get there in just a bit. 1 Corinthians 12. How are spiritual gifts given? How are spiritual gifts given? In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11, as you read through that passage, you read, to one is given by the Spirit. This to another, by the same Spirit, this. To another, by the same Spirit, this. To another, to another, to another. And in verse number 11, it says, all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So God gives the gifts. We don't just get them on our own. God gives those. The metaphor he uses to explain spiritual gifts that Paul uses is the body. We've already dealt with that. Is there an order, a hierarchy of spiritual gifts? Anyone think of a verse that might indicate that or might not?
Well, the Bible says covet the best gifts, so it has to be better than good.
Yeah, so covet the best gifts. Okay, so there are gifts that are better. Maybe even in a situation, a particular church, there may be gifts that are better for that church needs, or another church, it may be something completely different that that church needs. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles," and this word first here means first in time, but also first in place or first in rank. So first in time, certainly, he set some in the church first apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So we think about those other gifts. If we try to put them all in order as far as time, was diversities of tongues given after these others? Probably. I mean, we know there were gifts of healings. The apostles healed. Gifts of helps. There were church members that were servants, prior to Pentecost. Governments, people that had administrative abilities. So we could say that, put an order of time in there. But if you think about order of rank, so often people put, some groups today put the gift of tongues up there at first rank. If you don't have the gift of tongues, then you're not even saved. We don't see that in the scripture. So let's just, 1 Corinthians 12, let's look at this last question real very quickly here. How are spiritual gifts exercised? How are they exercised? And we've already touched on this, but looking at verses 4 through 6 of 1 Corinthians 12 again. We hit on this early on in the series. It says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God," which works all in all. So the Trinity here is involved in spiritual gifts. The entire Trinity is involved in your ministry potential. What God's put you in this body to do, the whole Trinity is involved in that. So the Spirit sovereignly decides which gifts are delegated to every believer. The moment He indwells every believer, He divides every man severally as He will. Verse number 11. "And there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." So He works. He gives according to His will. What gift you have. Verse number 5, "The Son decides the specific type of gift of ministry that each spiritual gift will empower." There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. That word administration speaks of ministries or service. So a lot of different areas that your gift could be used in, but it's the Son that decides, hey, this is what you're going to be doing. This is how that it's going to be empowered in your life. And then the Father determines the result or the extent of the ministry that every believer has received. He says that there are diversities of operations. That word operations means the effect, that which something has wrought. So there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So you may have a gift, and someone else may have the exact same gift, and what is wrought by this person as they are led by the Holy Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit, the result of that may be huge. And you're being led by the Holy Spirit, exercise the exact same gift, same spirit of humility, and the result of you exercising that gift may be small. Who determines if it's big or small? There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God, which worketh all in all. So we can't look at others and say, well, look at what they're doing. Well, don't be jealous over, it's not what they're doing, it's what God's doing. If we are led by the Holy Spirit and humble, it's what God is doing through the members, and we ought to rejoice in that. Ought to rejoice in what's taking place. Think about, you know, two eyes on a head. Do they see the same thing all the time? They don't. Okay, something comes flying at you from your right hand side. You're thankful that your right eye sees it and makes your head move. If it was just dependent on the left eye, you get knocked upside the head. So the result of the sight, both eyes are seeing, but the result of the right eye seeing something flying at your head, the result is your head moves and you duck out of the way and you don't get hit, or you block it. So the result of that, you could say it's pretty big, maybe even saved a life, because you're able to duck when the left eye, it wasn't doing anything. You know, it was seeing, it was doing its job, but the result of its seeing in that moment of time may have been very insignificant compared to the other. But both are doing their job. And so don't be jealous over what others, how God's working in others' lives. Be thankful that God is working through others' lives, and allow the Holy Spirit to work through your life. All right, we are out of time. Again, if you have any questions on that, on the answer sheet, just text or call or ask me. But if you would, next week, just bring the sheet I handed out today, bring that one back with you next week. And then we'll turn that sheet in. That'd be good.